Well, our theme today continues to be love, but also we add on another little element to that, and you'll hear that as we go along. As we go through the book of the letter of John, it's just a short little letter in the New Testament, 5 chapters long, but on more than 40 occasions in this little 5 chapters, John tells us that we can know. We can know, K-N-O-W. He uses the word know. He wants us to know that we are Christians. He wants us to know whether or not we are Christians. And from there, he breaks the whole book down into, and you can sort of put it into 3 categories. And we've talked about these. And I hope that by the time we finish this, you will remember them. And you will know them, and there will be, when somebody says, well, 1 John, what's that about? Oh, I know. Those 3 things are simply, the first is Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you believe Jesus is God? Do you worship and love Him? That's the most important one that John talks about. That's foundational. Then he proceeds from that and he talks about 2 other things, love and hate. Love and hate. Wow. A Christian is a person who loves Jesus as God, and they hate sin. Not pointing out other people's sin. Believe me, John doesn't talk about that. He talks about what's happening in our sin. That we hate sin. We're tired of our lives. We're tired of the sin that's in our lives. We're tired of the things that sin does to our lives. It destroys our life. It tears us down. John is saying that a believer, a Christian, is a person that hates the sin that's in their life. And they want to be a different person. They're looking to be a different person. They're looking to be changed. So they hate the things that they're doing. But they also love. They love people. The mark of a Christian, as John would describe it, is that they believe that Jesus is God and that they hate the sin that's in their life, but they love people. That's the goal. That's what we want to do. All the other stuff, all the other fluff, maybe could be good for religious causes. You want to build a denomination? I mean, this is a Baptist church, but we're not about that necessarily. We're about Jesus. We're about hating the sin that ruins our lives. And we're about loving people. Those are the goals that we have. The hallmark of the Christian life are those things. I remember when I was younger, this whole idea of loving people, it was a little bit over the top. You ever run into that? It just sort of think, ooh. That's a little bit heavy. I grew up in the time, and some of you may remember it, the time of the hippies, you know? Peace, love, dove. You know, does that ring a bell? And everybody was sort of this faux hippie manual was that we would love everybody. Well, you know, that didn't last long. People sort of loved each other, but then it sort of got carried away and you got into TV and all the things that they were saying on TV. And the whole issue of love sort of took on a tone, and it had this sort of, this code word, and love and sex sort of became interchanged. And when you used the code word love, And you saw it on TV and movies, it was sort of more like, let's get naked. And I sort of thought about this, and I thought, you know, Christianity keeps telling us to love, love, love. And our culture kept telling us it was something else. And I want to tell you that I love all of these people who stood up here as leaders today. But it's not like our culture talks about love. It means something totally different. In fact, in the New Testament, we never use the word love the Greek word love, it's never found, it's eros, and it's erotic love. That word is never used in the New Testament. Words that are used for love are words like friendship love or God's love. And that's the kind of love that we need to be experiencing with one another in this place. It's not talking about all those other things. You know, when we use the word love so often in our culture and we devalue it. How many people here love donuts? People treat a box of donuts in our culture like they treat maybe their girlfriend or their boyfriend. And once they're finished with one, they'll pick another one. You know? And it's so sad. It's so wrong. And that's not the way that love should be dealt with. And we devalue love. We make it just sort of like something that's passing. We got to be careful how we define and that we define it right. You know, you take somebody... You know, sometimes a young person with their love, and it's sort of like it's controlled by their emotions. One time they love this little girl or this little boy, and then all of a sudden something happens, their emotions change, and they love somebody else. And love is not like that, the love that's spoken of in the Bible. What we're talking about in the Bible, in love, it's not an emotion, but it's a passion. It's a passion. Emotion is tied to the circumstance. Well, if circumstances are right, I'll love this person. But if it's passion, it doesn't go like that. Somebody might be inspired to love, and then they all of a sudden fall out of love if it's just an emotion and going on. Passion doesn't go away. Passion is in your heart. Emotion comes and goes. I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about my wife, Pam. I'm passionate about our kids. I'm passionate about this church. Those things don't come and go. If it was based on emotion, we all have those times when our emotions are sort of, oh, you know, I love the joke or the cartoon where the pastor's laying in bed and his wife is saying, or he said something like, and it's Sunday morning, you can see on the calendar, and the guy laying in bed says, I just don't feel like going and seeing those people today. And the wife says, well, you don't have a choice. You're the pastor. And we have to recognize that love that's talked about is passion, and it's not based on the emotion. It's not based on what wells up and goes down. But it's based on a passion that's based on a foundation of Christ. In Christian love, it's passionate and it's action-oriented. You need to know that. Those two are distinguishing hallmarks of Christian love. They're passionate and they're action-oriented. The Bible says that Jesus demonstrated his love for us when? While we were still sinners, he died for us. God demonstrated his love through Jesus' life and death. He did something. There was action. It wasn't just some platitude that he said, oh, I love these people. And then he walked away. But he gave himself for us. He gave himself for you. He gave himself for me. Love that's biblical is passion that leads to action. The seniors are studying the book of James, and Bill, you could give us a long story as you lead that study about faith, how without works are simply dead. Well, it's sort of the same thing. Christian love that's without action is just a nice platitude that you stick on the wall. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. And Jesus, in Jesus' ministry, he said we should love one another. Jesus' ministry is telling us that we should love each other. He's saying that that's the hallmark of Christian love, Christian life. We love. The Pharisees and all of those guys came to Jesus and they said, so there are 600 laws in the Old Testament. Which are the most important? And what did Jesus say? You know this, I hope. He simply told them that they need to love God and love people and love your neighbor. Love is most important. The most important thing is love. Jesus said, by this everyone will know that what? You're my disciples. By loving one another. You see, Jesus is saying everything is hanging on this, folks. On loving one another. That's what it's about. We need to be loving people. John brings us back to this teaching over and over again in these five short chapters. He was the one who hung around with Jesus. He was in the inner circle of disciples with Jesus. He saw how Jesus took care of people. And he is saying, this needs to be characteristic of your life. You need to recognize that. We all need to recognize that. He saw that Jesus loving people firsthand. Let me read this to you. We start in the chapter before, in verse 24 of chapter 3. The one who follows his teaching and walks this path lives in an intimate relationship with God. How do we know that he lives in us? By the gift of his Spirit. My loved ones, John tells us, I warn you, don't trust every spirit. Instead, examine them carefully to determine if they come from God, because the corrupt world is filled with the voices of many false prophets. Here's how you know God's Spirit. If a spirit affirms the truth that Jesus, the anointed, our liberating King, has come in human flesh, then that spirit is from God. If a spirit does not affirm the true nature of Jesus, the anointed, then that spirit does not come from God and is, in fact, the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard about its coming. In fact, it is already active in the world. My children, you have come from God and have conquered those spirits because the one who lives within you is greater than the one in this world. But they are of this world and they articulate the views of the corrupt world, which the world understands. We come from God, and those who know God hear us. Whoever is not from God will not listen to us. This is the way we discern the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. John seems to go into this, and he's describing how we know if someone really is someone that follows Jesus or not. And that's an important thing for us to understand. Not that we make the judgment, but that we see, and the Spirit gives evidence in somebody's life. The testimony of the Spirit in the life of a believer, John says, expresses itself in a couple ways. The first way is that it causes us to love. We've been talking about love. And John says that this needs to be characteristic of your life. And John is saying that, you know, we read in the New Testament that when there is love in our life, it is evidence of God's Spirit. You remember Galatians 5:22? Love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so love among Christians is one of the ways the Holy Spirit testifies to the reality that He is in our lives. When we love each other from our hearts, when we love each other in deed, when we love each other in truth, and not just in word. We have to step away from the little platitudes that snare us. It's the Spirit Himself bearing witness that we are children of God because we love one another. Think for a moment of when we speak about a testimony of the Spirit. What is that? Lots of people will say, "Oh, great testimony." That's a, you know, what are they saying? What does that mean? Well, a testimony is presentation of evidence that would help a jury decide the truth of a claim. That's sort of a definition that comes out of a dictionary. Presentation of evidence that would help a jury decide the truth of a claim. A testimony is valuable to the degree that it can be counted as good evidence in deciding if a claim is true. So if somebody says that they have the Spirit within them, is there a testimony of their life, of the love that they show, that gives evidence for what they're claiming? That's all it's saying. It's not saying that you need to give past judgment on somebody, but it's saying, is there evidence in their life of the things that they claim? John is saying that as believers, the testimony is the love that is produced in our lives. So it causes us to love. The Holy Spirit in our life causes us to love. The Holy Spirit in our lives causes us to believe. As we've said in this chat, in the book of John, that believing in Jesus is one of the goals that John describes. That's one of the things that ought to be a reality in our life. And when the Spirit is in our life, that is what happens. He causes us to believe. Sometimes we want to think that it's just our good choices in life that leads us to believe. But I want to tell you that it is God at work in your life, and the Holy Spirit at work in your life, that gives you the opportunity to believe and to believe. And you need to allow God to do that in your life. Believe in Jesus and love each other. There's a test sort of the Spirit's indwelling nature in our lives. And we read that in this passage already. So I'm not going to read it again. But John says in the second verse, here's how you know God's Spirit. He's giving us that test. And he wants us to know that we would affirm to others that Jesus has come in the flesh. That Jesus, who is God, has been born and come in the flesh and dwelt among us. And that becomes a test of that, of whether the Spirit is in our lives. Now the fact is that we might confess that, and we might be able to go out into the street and find somebody who, for the right amount of money, would come in and say the same thing. So how do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference? I mean, how do you tell the difference between some charlatan who's proclaiming some kind of thing as godly, and if they're making enough money, why wouldn't they? Right? And they would be testifying to certain thing. Oh, yes, I believe those things. And all of that. But what is the difference? What is the reality? How do you tell the difference between those things? It's not really just the truth that's, or the words that are coming out of their mouths, but it's really what you see in their hearts and how they're living their lives and what's the reality ongoing. You can't always tell immediately, but you can tell over a period of time. You can see the difference in how a person lives their life. The sincerity that's there, the change of their heart. You know, you go downtown and you go to a place like a mission of some sort. There's all sorts of people who will say all sorts of things that they believe so that they can get a meal, right? And it doesn't necessarily make it true, but it's what happens after that. The testimony. It's sort of, do they live like that man till? Is it evidenced in their life, how they're living? Can people see in your life that there's a difference, that there has been a new change and a new way of living in your life? That's really one of the great challenges. Is there fruit being produced in their life, the fruit of love? The fact is that there's sort of two sides to the thing. There's the hearing, and there's the saying, and there's the listening. Are people willing to hear what God's Spirit would say to their life? You know, if you say something about what God's Spirit is doing and where He's leading, are people willing to hear that, or do they just brush you off and, you know, well, it's sort of like Pilate. Well, I'd like to hear about that sometime, but don't talk to me, because I've got busier things to take care of. Does listening really say anything about a person's spiritual condition. It's sort of in verses 2 and verse 6, there's sort of one is hearing and one is doing, if you'd look at this. Whoever is not from God will not listen to us. If somebody isn't willing to hear what God has to say, you have to recognize that the Spirit is not within them. It's not bearing testimony of what you're saying and what the Spirit is saying to you. And through you, I guess. So what are the lessons that John would want us to know from this short chapter, from these short verses? Well, I think there are important things for the believers. A lesson for a believer, it's twofold. Don't take credit for your listening ear, or don't take credit for your confessing heart or your correct view of Christ. Give credit to the Spirit who is within you. Give God the glory. Don't consider yourself so puffed up that you've figured all this out. Recognize that it's the Spirit of God who is dwelling within you, and it is His work in your life that gives you the ability to love, to believe, and to recognize and give testimony of the Spirit. And the second thing is, when you're threatened by deception of the evil one, whatever that temptation or discouragement or anxiety, remind yourself this simple thing: He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Almighty God said that He's come to dwell in your life. What are you facing? What are you seeking to overcome? God, who has created it all, the Almighty God, is dwelling within you. He is the one who can give you the strength to overcome. And it is from that victory that you're able to overcome the world. It's the sovereign, indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. That's what John is saying to us. What about if you're an unbeliever? I don't know if you're an unbeliever today. The lesson is this. It's simply this. This is what John wants us to know. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit. Admit without Him, your ears will stay shut. Your heart will remain hard. And you will not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. And so if you're an unbeliever today, or you've never taken that step, I would simply ask that you would pray that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes. I would ask that you would plead with Him to take away the hardness of your heart. Ask Him to put within you the joyful confession that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. I don't want you to buy into a whole bunch of stuff that some religious group might tell you, that you can't do this and this and that and this, and you got to do it this way and that way. That's not what John is telling us that we need to do. John is telling us that we need to believe. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would come into our lives. We need to ask that our eyes are open, our ears unstopped, our hearts would be softened, to be able to understand what it is that John wants us to know. So are you there at that place? My prayer is that as you read through this passage again, that you will be reminded that God wants to do a work in your life. That He just doesn't want this to be sort of some fluff that comes at you. But He wants to do a work in your life so that you can give testimony of the Spirit in your life. That the love that you say that you have, it shows up in action. It shows up in passion. And it just doesn't go up and down based on the emotions that you have today. May that be the prayer of your heart as you live for Him. Father, we just want to thank You, Father, that our faith, our belief, our actions don't simply rest in our own strength. Because, Lord, our emotions go up and down every day. We pray that it will be based upon the passion that you put in our heart of your Spirit at work in our lives. And so move in us, we pray. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.